We welcome you to the Lord's house as we're privileged to lift up praise and worship to our loving God. We would like to encourage everyone to please sign the registration sheet, if you would, and to pass that on to your neighbor. And in your bulletin, please take note of the announcement mentioning the new Sunday school class that's taking place, as well as the announcement about the RevCon Youth Conference for the 2nd of March. We certainly are grateful for the growing contributions that you're providing this month for our Tower of Hope, for Hope House, which is over here to your right. And more details about that are there in your bulletin as well. And as always, we're grateful for your contributions to the church's food pantry. Those items needed are also listed in the bulletin flyer. And this Wednesday, we will begin our Lenten meditations and suppers following our Ash Wednesday service last Wednesday. Again, the Lenten meditation and suppers will be at 6 o'clock each Wednesday from now until Wednesday, the 20th of March. This Wednesday, the supper is being provided by the Good Neighbors as well as the Faithful Family Sunday School classes. And men, please join us this Thursday evening for the February Men's Fellowship Supper and Meeting. It will be at 6 o'clock. And also, please fill out that form, if you will, and put that in the offering plate so we'll know how many people to prepare for the meal. And our thanks to Gail Gentry, as she is serving as our music director this morning, and Angie for providing our special music this morning as Ryan and his school choir, I believe, are in New York City, right, this weekend. So we wish them safe travels. And Gail, we're so grateful for your assistance. Thank you. Good morning. How great are the wonders God shows us. God is King forever. He will rule for all time. Bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, in love God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings,
God made them every one. seems bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, in love God made them all.
May we pray. Holy and gracious God, as our Lenten season has begun, we are privileged to be drawn closer in fellowship with you through worship, meditation of your word, and guidance of your Holy Spirit. As Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5 inspire us, show us your ways, Lord. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us. For you are God, our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. In Christ's name, we give thanks and praise to you. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors.
Today the kids are going to start making a special Easter display. Well, apparently these things don't like me very well. We're going to start building a special Easter display. So the kids are going to make a
Thank you.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, the family of Lisa Lopez Galvan and, of course, the 22 others recovering from gunshot wounds and even others healing from injuries and striving to overcome the trauma from last Wednesday's mass shooting event are certainly in our prayers here in Kansas City. We also want to lift up Jerry and Betty Donahue. Jerry has discovered through testing at the St. Luke's Hospital here on Berry Road, testing that took place this last week, that he is needing a heart valve replacement surgery that will be taking place at North Kansas City Hospital sometime here in the near future. We want to lift up Russell Stewart. He is now making his recovery through the colon surgery that took place this past week at the St. Luke's Hospital in Lee's Summit, making steady progress, and we're grateful for that as we keep Russell and Ellen in prayer. Luella Scott is at North Kansas City Hospital and undergoing various kinds of tests to ascertain what is taking place to help her in the midst of her recovery. Also, we lift up Brian and Nancy Sitzman. Brian is also at North Kansas City Hospital, had back surgery this past week and working through his recovery. And Doris, we're so grateful that your cataract surgery went well this past week, and we also keep in prayer Joan Hamilton and Bob Maddox and John Adams and Alan Pipps, Edna Williams, Ted Ferris, Tom Bosworth, Leslie Martinson, Susan Hanks, Rihanna Ralston, Randy Squires, Perla Morris, family member John, and of course Bonnie Wisdom's son-in-law Chris Bishop. All these people have been upon our prayer list for some time. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Our heavenly Creator and loving God, it is with celebration of heart and mind that we offer our praise to you this Lord's Day morning, for the privilege to worship your name and to enjoy our fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, we give you thanks. We especially seek your Spirit's comfort to be with the family of Lisa Lopez Galvan, as her vibrant life was stolen from them by perpetrators whose violent acts have disrupted the lives of so many, and for our community as well. We pray for the 22 other victims striving to heal from gunshot wounds, and also for those suffering through other injuries and personal trauma. As a mass shooting this past Wednesday disrupted what was to be a venue of collective celebration, we are aware, O God, that this is one more act of malicious violence tearing through our nation's communities. May we be vigilant and efforts to identify and address the ills of society that compel so many young people to resort to violent means that so often destroy the lives of the innocent. For as 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 tells us, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Yet as the text also continues, we recognize that evil can be overcome by the inspiration of Christ's ways, for the text continues by saying, the reason why the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And as many acts of love and comfort, goodwill and grace continue to comfort the bereaved, the wounded, and the traumatized, may we rejoice in the truth that evil shall be overcome with the goodness of Christ our Lord, for the victory has already been won over even evil and death itself. We offer this prayer in thanksgiving, as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Gathering together for any number of particular reasons is one of the most unique ways for people to establish a collective identity, engender to young people the benefits of community, and is often a way for us to joyously celebrate. Such gatherings include family reunions, birthday parties, sporting events, community celebrations, federal holiday commemorations, and certainly for people of faith such as ourselves, gathering to worship our God and to celebrate the privilege of the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning. We imagine our Lord Jesus at the center of our Lord's table as we all gather round, sharing in fellowship with Christ and with one another. This is what we celebrate as we turn to our communion hymn, Let Us Break Bread Together, and as we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of hymn number 425.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Ken leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, we ask you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread and wine to the souls of all those who receive them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Following the news, you've likely noticed that monetary and tangible gifts alike have been pouring in for the victims and their families of last Wednesday's mass shooting. Gifts have ranged from hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Chiefs organization, the NFL, and celebrities, on through individual contributions to the United Way Emergency Fund and to the Children's Mercy Hospital. All of this are good things for us to do. For as the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, that we are to overcome evil with good. With these thoughts in mind, we receive our tithes and offerings as Bob first leads us in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we pray for these tithes and offerings to help your church here at Berry and the community and beyond, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
May we stand.
Praise God for all our blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. When I was preparing for today's message, we were hoping that at the 11 o'clock service, that we were going to have the dedication for Alyssa's children, Chase and Sadie and Jackson Keller. But as the children's great-grandmother, Luella Scott, is in the hospital, that is going to be postponed, because in speaking with Alyssa and, of course, with Luella and everyone in the family, Melody included, certainly would just love to have Luella present for that dedication. So all of that's going to be kind of set aside, but since I didn't get that word until yesterday afternoon, y'all still got to hear the same sermon. Okay. the text for us. First of all, Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning with the 13th verse. Some people brought children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples scolded the people. And when Jesus noticed this, he was angry and said to his disciples, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on each of them, and blessed them. And then a text from Daniel, chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. "Listen to my account of the wonders and miracles which the supreme God has shown me. How great are the wonders God shows us. How powerful are the miracles he performs. God is king forever. He will rule for all time." May we pray. Merciful and loving God, may all of us in humble faithfulness and trust approach your throne of glory with the boundless curiosity of a child, and thus experience and appreciate the glory of your presence before us. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. I have a trivia question for you this week. When will the United States once again land on the surface of the moon? Anybody have an idea? When are we going to land on the moon once again? How about this coming Thursday, the 22nd of February? Did you know that? This past Thursday, the 15th of February, 1:05 a.m. in the morning, the privately funded Intuitive Machines Nova C lunar lander named Odysseus took off on a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket with the hopes of landing on the South Pole region of the moon this coming Thursday, the 22nd of February. What kind of is the trick part of the question is that this is, of course, an unmanned lunar lander, and it is loaded with scientific instruments from NASA and private companies, and will be the first time that any representation of the United States has been on the moon's surface since what year? Anybody want to venture a guess? It's been a ways back. Some of us were in our childhood, or for me, I was in my teenage years. How about 1972? The goal of this mission is to collect further data from the moon and to hopefully for SpaceX to also establish the moon's south pole as a jumping-off point to send people to Mars and beyond. A long-term goal of SpaceX is for humanity to become an interplanetary species, with colonization of the moon, Mars, and ultimately to travel to other planets of the solar system. And of course, our next projected landing of people has actually been pushed back to now September of 2026, and we'll see whether that sticks or whether it gets pushed back even further. But why bother with these far-fetched endeavors? Well, it's because we humans, we are, after all, a rather curious lot. And if you don't think so, that if you don't think you're curious, just ask yourself, how often am I, every day, using my mobile telephone to Google some bit of information about something? If you actually had to keep a scratch score, I bet you would find that it actually accumulates rather rapidly. And oh, by the way, the microtechnology that has made that mobile phone in your hand and your most recent arthroscopic or laparoscopic procedure possible, you know, that knee surgery, hip surgery, whatever it was you may have recently had, it all originated with the Mercury, the Gemini, and of course the Apollo space programs. As we will later be privileged to celebrate the dedication of Alyssa's children, Chase, Sadie, and Jackson Keller, in a 11 o'clock service sometime here and now in the future, We acknowledge that Jesus encouraged young children to come before his presence to be blessed, as such blessings by a rabbi were a custom among Jewish communities that offered hope and assurance for the Jewish parents and certainly for the children. Now, we've talked in the past about the whole business of, you know, the disciples' response, so we're not going to be looking at that today. We've looked at that before. But Jesus used one of these occasions of blessing children. I believe he probably did that on multiple occasions, not just once. This would have been a common occurrence, we must understand, in Jewish communities. This notion of wanting to have your children blessed by a rabbi who was noted for having a miraculous ability to heal people. Having your children blessed in a time period in which the mortality rate was so profoundly high, this would have been a precious gift that Jesus gave to these families. But on the occasion that we have marked here in Mark's gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 14 and 15, we know that Jesus says, "Let the children come to me and don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." From the viewpoint of the casual observer, Jesus' words to his disciples and the other adults gathered there seem harsh. But Jesus is using the moment to emphasize the very attitude and perspective people of faith are encouraged to possess as they approach the living and loving God. Jesus is emphasizing the humble, trusting, and inquisitive nature through which young children engage in relationship with their loved ones and through which they explore the wonders of the unfolding world around them. Energetic and boundless curiosity and wonderment. This is the way of young children. As a parent, as a grandparent, a great-grandparent, or maybe even as an aunt, an uncle, a great-aunt, a great-uncle, or even as a neighbor, you are amazed and hopefully even delighted at the energetic, boundless energy that young children are blessed to possess. You are astounded at their unlimited curiosity over even the simplest of things that we adults perceive as ordinary and mundane. And we've often become so jaded in our worn perspective of the world and trodden down by the physical ailments and limitations that we deal with, that we fail to see the wonder. It's like the wonderment is lost on us, but not on children. Curious young children actually ask a staggering average of 73 questions every day. And if you have young people in your life today, you know what that's like, don't you? And you know how tiresome it can seem to feel. The reason why I think for parents, grandparents, or even neighbors that we feel bewildered or even exhausted by so many questions is that we want to try to answer them in an adult-minded answer, as if we're supposed to give them the accurate truth of something. You know, I think there's a point where we just kind of need to set that aside. And what we need to do is actually enjoy the journey of the wonder and the exploration of the event. This is what it means to be the childlike, the inquisitive faith that Jesus says a person can truly experience or enter, and therefore enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, a lot of you were probably watching the Super Bowl last Sunday, were you not? Right? Anybody who wasn't? A couple of you. Some of you weren't. Well, you heard about it later on anyway, didn't you? Well, you know, here we are. We watched the first half and thought, oh my, this is not looking good. And Miss Addie, our oldest grandchild, she said, "Let's go downstairs." Well, we're at our son's house, you know. That lower level of the house is supposed to be the grandma-grandpa place one day. Right now, it's empty. And we went down. I said, well, let's go look. And I engaged Miss Addie in an endeavor of hide and seek. Now, when there's nothing there, you know, there's all kinds of spaces that even an old guy like me can hide in. So off we head. And I would go, where's Miss Addie? Where's Miss Addie? Oh, is she in the cabinet? You know, loud enough so she could hear. No, there's no Addie in the cabinet. Close the cabinet. Where's Miss Addie? Let me look. Where's Miss Addie? Maybe underneath the sink, because, you know, she can get underneath the sink. No Miss Addie under the sink. Before long, Carrie came down, started playing, and then a little while longer, Jonathan, our son, came down, and all four of us were playing hide-and-seek in all this open, empty space. And we did it for the entire time of halftime. I heard from several people later in the week as I mentioned that, well, Dennis, you didn't miss anything from halftime. But, you know, we could have just gone down the stairs. Oh, yeah, Miss Addie, you've been here before. It's the same old space. Let's go back upstairs. That's how we could have journeyed, right? Or instead, we can explore the wonder of the moment. So if you got the physical ability, go play hide and go seek with your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. This past Sunday, Super Bowl 58 experienced absolutely the largest ever viewership of any program. Did you catch that statistic? 123.4 million people. Now, we were asked the question, what is it that draws so many millions of people to a singular sporting event? Surely it is the quest, even if you don't like football, the quest is the unknown. Who will win the game? How will they win the game? And by how many points? And when such a game is won in overtime by such a slim margin of progressive tactics, you know, they had to make a first down at that end, another first down, another first down, and it's all down to what? A pass that was caught. And that's what made it all turn around, right? Yes. As many people said to me this past week, Pastor, I could hardly catch my, what, breath. And I got to thinking, you're just an observer. It doesn't affect your paycheck. It doesn't gain anything for you. In fact, you've probably expended quite a bit of time and resources to engage in this event, and yet you are so excited and so wound up because it's what? It's your team. Yet as people of faith, we must ask ourselves, how can we capture the same sense of wonderment, the same sense of excitement when it comes to our relationship with God? For we are all, we believe, marching to God's eternal kingdom. We're not marching to a sporting field in the kingdom. We are not marching to a locker room in the sky. We are all on a march to be a part of God's heavenly realm forevermore. Isn't that right? In Jesus' day, many Jewish people were so very much filled with the joyous wonder of God's word that when the scroll of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, were taken out of the protective enclosure by the local rabbi, slightly unrolled and lifted up, and then walked into the realm of the people, in the synagogue before it was read, these Jewish people in Jesus' day would dance and sing psalms. One of the verses, for example, Psalm 119, verse 103 tells us, "How sweet are your words to my taste, O Lord, sweeter than honey to my mouth." In the Old Testament text that I read to you, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar is so astonished by the wonders of the God of the Hebrew people. Again, remember, it's not his God. But he is so astonished by the wonders of the God of the Hebrew people as he observed how God saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace that he sends out a decree to be announced throughout all of Babylon. And we read this from Daniel chapter 4, beginning with the first verse. "Greetings," the king says, "listen to my account of the wonders and miracles which the supreme God has shown me. How great are the wonders God shows us. How powerful are the miracles that he performs. God is king forever. He will rule for all time." Now, he says a whole lot more. And you can look up that text later today if you'd like to and read more. But again, here, he's just lifting up celebration for the wonders of the God that you and I claim to profess. As we are privileged to enjoy the exuberant, inquisitive energy of children in the fellowship of our church, and in our personal lives, we are challenged to put aside our jaded adult perspectives and to approach the wonders of God with the energetic and inquisitive spirit like that of Nebuchadnezzar, and indeed, even like children, to share God's wonders and to share them with others. Striving to cultivate in our relationship with God that same zealous energy we so often commit to sporting events is the reason why I have for years given children's storybooks to our families during the dedication of our children so parents can share the wonders of God's love with their younger children. Striving to cultivate in our relationship with God this same zealous, inquisitive energy is the reason why last year we challenged our preschool and our grade school children to earn their personal copies of the Ergemeyer's Children's Bible Story book. And so many of them indeed did earn that book, and many of our adults also bought copies for themselves. And even we as adults, what we need to understand is that exploring the surface of the moon, or going to Mars, or even to other planets, or maybe stars or galaxies beyond, it may all seem quite fascinating, but it all pales in comparison to experiencing the wonders of an intimate and living relationship with the God who has created us, with the God with whom we hope to spend eternity. So I encourage you today, cast away the complacency. Cast away the jaded view of the world or God's kingdom, and embrace the wonder that is ours in our relationship with God and Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I welcome you to come forward and embrace him in a way I know your life can indeed be transformed as you make your confession of faith. I welcome you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship at Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 66. We'll sing verses 1 and 4 of "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise." Number 66.
Immortal, invisible,
Please have a seat for a moment. I want to celebrate the fact that Shirley Quick has decided to come forward and to transfer her membership. And it is from the Ohio Christian Church, which is actually located in Lowry City, Missouri, which is kind of to the east and a bit east and south from here in Kansas City, right, Shirley? And we are so delighted that you've been sharing in fellowship and worship with us here at Berry Christian Church. And it is our joy to welcome you. But as we welcome you as a member of our fellowship, I do want to ask you again, do you believe with all your heart that indeed Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as you have accepted him as Lord and Savior and been baptized in obedience?
I do.
Praise God. So Shirley, I extend the hand of Christian fellowship and welcome you to Berry Christian Church. Bless you. Let's give her a hand. Thank you so much. I appreciate it so much, and I hope you'll take a moment to greet Shirley at the door as we conclude the service. May we stand for our benediction, please. Lord God, as we depart from your house, we do indeed experience the wonders of what it means to know you as our loving God. And as we journey forward in the new week, may we truly seek your word and seek out your guidance through prayer and through the blessing of your Holy Spirit, that we may indeed experience great joy, peace, and assurance in all things. For it is in Christ's name we pray. As we depart, amen.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in grace. Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. When we are called to part, it gives us inward pain. We